Welcome to ACCDC's fourth podcast, where we're going to explore the benefits of extending outdoor playtimes and how it can encourage children's creative thinking. Many things have changed over this past time. However, that importance of outdoor play still remains. We're going to explore the benefits of extending outdoor playtimes, what it may look like with different center dynamics, and how it can be implemented through creative thinking in the best interest of children, educators, and center as a whole. We are excited to invite our local center and researcher on outdoor play.
So our guest today, Dr. Deborah Harwood, professor of early childhood education with Brock University, is joining us to have conversation around the topic of the benefits of extending outdoor play times and how it can encourage creative thinking. So thank you very much, Deborah, for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for asking.
So we're going to jump right in to think about these following thoughts and ideas. The first one is, what research have you been exploring about the benefits of extending outdoor play for children?
So interestingly enough, my own research agenda is really focused on, you know, asking that question, what would happen if we take children beyond the fence in the outdoors into the natural environment? And in the last several years, I've kind of been working with one particular program, and we've explored a very natural kind of wild space. Not to say that every outdoor experience needs to be within those contexts, you know, outdoors and nature is all around us, no matter where we live, whether we're in a city or we're in, you know, a beautiful beach or what have you. So your nature explorations in the outdoors can really involve a wide spectrum of opportunities. So within this project, though, we were really curious about what would really happen for children. And of course, we've seen some of the research that's come out in terms of, you know, the benefits holistically. The easiest one to think about is the physical benefits. You know, when children are outdoors, they're more vigorous, their hearts are pumping, and it boosts their physical health, or they have better immunity, as well as the improvements to well-being. But then there's some other things that we see in the outdoors that we don't often think about. So in terms of attention behaviors, self-regulation, working memory, executive function, all of those things benefits from the outdoors. And of course, those are all really foundations for early learning. So, you know, just from the physical side of the outdoor play alone, we see all these massive benefits.
I love how you highlighted the idea of that holistic view of children and how we've really shifted our thinking away from fixing parts to looking at children holistically, and how engaging them in the outdoors supports that view.
Yeah, definitely. And if you think about children in the outdoors, when, you know, things are not prescribed, so things are very open-ended. We talk about the outdoors as offering all of these affordances because it's not any kind of prescribed type of play. It relies a lot on the child's imagination and their creativity. And you can see how that really benefits children, particularly for their learning. If they have to come up with the ideas and they have to, you know, communicate between each other who's going to be the play partners, if they all have to agree that a stick is now a magic wand, you can see those kind of negotiations happening all the time in the outdoors. And those obviously, you know, foster children's curiosity and fosters their dispositions towards learning. So taking children outside is, you know, always kind of my first level advice for any educator or any parent, particularly now during this time in the pandemic.
Definitely. I think we're seeing a lot more exploration in the outdoors with children and families and educators because of that opportunity to be stretched apart, yet still have those opportunities for exploration. So again, more of those benefits.
Mm-hmm, definitely. There's this wonderful research quote that I just love, and it's from Tanya Gray in 2018, and it's about outdoor learning, but you can easily substitute outdoor play. So she says, you know, outdoor learning is not new, it's just newly important. And I keep coming back to that phrase, particularly now that we are in this situation with this pandemic. And you know, for many years, I've been professing the benefits of taking children outdoors for the holistic, for learning, for curriculum, as well as for the educator. But now particularly with the situation we're in with the pandemic, it is so incredibly important to make sure children are having those experiences, as well as the educator.
Yeah, I love that quote. Fantastic. So again, we've kind of touched on a few of those benefits, but again, thinking about that extension of outdoor playtime, are there further benefits for educators extending that outdoor time?
I've mostly talked about the physical benefits. Is one of the things we found in the first year of the study that I did is that, you know, we were really quite interested in children's physical health in that first year. And, you know, when they were out in the woods and outdoors, you know, their physical level of engagement, their vigorous, the stuff that keeps your heart pumping, those levels were almost double than what was the kids experiencing in their traditional program. So we know that that, you know, physical side is really incredibly important, but I'd say equally important is the emotional side, the emotional aspects of being in the outdoors, as well as the social aspects. Something happens when kids are outdoors, like the play dynamic shifts, the community that they create shifts, as well as, you know, the emotional sense in terms of their mental well-being is all really positively impacted by the outdoors. When they have to navigate things like, you know, how they're going to use a tool or how they're going to, you know, build the mud pie, you know, with their peers, or how even they're going to get their little bodies maybe up the slide versus down the slide, you know, those are all incredibly, you know, cognitive aspects of development, but also the social and emotional aspects as well. So again, it's not just the physical aspect. It is really a holistic approach for young children.
Great. Through your observations, thinking about some of the experiences that you've observed of children during their outdoor playtime, is there anything that has captured your attention or was you thought was surprising?
I mean, it's something that we've all known as educators, you know, how competent children are. But I think, again, just spending all the time that we did on the research project, you know, we basically followed the children for 3 years, different sets of children through the woods for 3 years. I think what always struck me from year to year is just the amazing level of competence that children gain from that experience and being at the outdoors. Just that opportunity to be, regardless of who they are or what experiences that they had previously, whether they've had, you know, lots of family experiences in the outdoors or if they've hardly had any, just that level of competence and the way in which they excel in the outdoors, you know, learning their own limits, learning to navigate and judge risks for themselves, finding those free expressions of themselves, and just that the gain in confidence that they had from their outdoor experiences was just, it was a wonderful thing to watch unfold each and every year. And it was just particularly amazing to see this really chance to excel in the outdoors.
Wonderful. And as far as the research project, is there a location where this information is that educators can look at this, or it might be linked?
Yeah, I mean, we did take little pieces of the project. It was such a long project, but we took pieces throughout the year and kind of produced different articles, you know, in different focus. So we've talked about everything in terms of those physical benefits, as well as, you know, some close-up inquiries, you know, in terms of what you could do for learning in the outdoors when children come across, you know, interesting things. Like one year we spent a lot of time talking about a dead raccoon. So those types of things. So there's different pieces of the research. Lately, I've been really focused on thinking about the outdoors as a way to talk to children about sustainability of the planet. So particularly tied into yesterday being Earth Day. And again, just the level of interest and competence and understanding that young people, like really young, we're talking 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, have of the complexities of the world and their thoughts on the environment and what's fair and what's not fair. So we have pieces of research that are out there based on this project. Yes.
Wonderful. Are there other thoughts or ideas that you would like to share with us along your journey about outdoor play?
The reality is we spend too much time focused on the indoors, and I'd like to see the shift happening on the and focus more on the outdoors. So one really nice thing that's come out is this Play Outdoors magazine, which you can see, anyone can subscribe to, and it's got wonderful stories, not only from researchers, but also from educators about what's going on in the outdoors. So I would just like to see us as educators and within training and within post-secondary focused a little bit more on the outdoors as an environment for learning and an environment that connects to, holistically to children's development. So even if we take the simplest example of an activity in the outdoors, like playing with soil or water, it's an important sensory experience for a young child, but it has a whole bunch of advantages, you know, in terms of learning. It's mathematics, it's language. If they're filling and emptying the containers, they're working with weight, volume, time. They're negotiating as they're doing these things, sharing their thoughts, expanding their vocabulary. You know, it's all of these amazing things, not to mention it's all those beautiful harmless microbes that they're playing with in the dirt and connecting within the soil. That's so important for health as well. So I just would like to see a little bit more focus on outdoor and learning and talking about the outdoors.
And I think we're seeing that shift of the outdoors not just being a place to burn off steam, it's also a place where so much authentic learning takes place, where children can explore and inquire. And as you said, all those learning opportunities. So it's so much more. And I think that that shift away from the old thought of let's get them outside so they can run off some energy, of getting them outside to engage in experiences.
Yeah, for sure. And not to say that it's not that important piece of letting off steam and energy and freedom. Mm-hmm. But now we know so much more. We know it connects to them mentally and it supports their mental well-being. And then as educators, we can also use it. It is a classroom. It's just a really unbounded, amazing, endless opportunity classroom that it requires us as educators to just be a little, you know, take risks ourselves, to be a little bit more dynamic, to be intentional, but just be willing to open up to, you know, not having the answer. It's okay. You don't need to know every name of every plant when you're outside. You get to respond by saying, oh, you know, I don't know. Let's go find the answer together. And that's so great if you can do that.
The opportunity of that co-learning, as it talks about, and how does learning happen? So again, moving away from it being okay not to have all those answers and to learn together and say, let's figure it out. And I think we've worked really hard on bringing the outdoors indoors. Now we need to think about what are we doing in the outdoors that can support children's learning.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I have another interesting kind of project that people are probably really will be interested in. So we did do a national scope of what was going on in the outdoors, particularly outdoor programs, and for early years and where they were across the country. And, you know, some of the attitudes that we have about weather, what's appropriate for children's weather, we can debunk all those by now that we have some research. So we know programs are operating in every aspect of Canada. And, you know, in terms of winter, you know, programs are operating everywhere from -4 to -30. So big congrats to people who are really invested in outdoor programming. And, you know, it is so true. It's no matter the weather, it's really dependent on how you dress. And I'd say, you know, kind of your mindset that you take when you're going out in the outdoors.
Definitely. No such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. And how we interpret that and move forward can enhance our opportunities outside.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree.
Thank you very much for everything that you've shared this afternoon. Really looking forward to hearing more about the research that you're working on. And again, thank you for joining us and look forward to connecting with you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
I would like to welcome our guests, Roxanne Hendry and Suzanne Robitaille from Rosalind Bauer Center for Childcare, where they are the Kinder Room for School Practitioners. And today they're going to share some of their thoughts with us on outdoor play and encouraging creative thinking, as well as all the benefits that go with this. So welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
So I'm going to jump right in with the thoughts around how you are supporting outdoor play within your program. If you can share some of your ideas.
So since COVID has happened, the whole center spends a lot more time outside. We are very fortunate that we have a forest here on campus because we're at Brock University. And so all the classes have found their own little pocket in the woods where they have set up their own little classrooms. And even if we're not in the woods, we're out on our playgrounds extended time. So we have brought all our program outside, like Jolly Phonics and math and art and everything outside. So like in the Kinder Room, we do Jolly Phonics twice a week. So we go outside, we find a nice spot to sit. Each child has their own little clipboard so they can do the worksheets. And I bring a dry erase board where we can highlight the letter of the day, to practice the sounds, and because we're social distancing, I can take my mask off so they can see where how to make the sounds if they need help. And then we do our worksheets, and then we can go on to play and explore the campus from there. And for math, we do the same thing. We bring out different things to make, like the 10-frame math boards, or sometimes we'll draw them with chalk on the sidewalk. Anything like that so that they can explore that way. Art clipboards are amazing. We use that. We have our wagon full of bits and bobs and pretty much a classroom on wheels. And even with our art, we just hang the clipboards outward so the art hangs to dry. That's the way we try and figure it out. And then 2 days a week, we're in the forest. And then we do our forest school program there, which is a little bit different.
Fantastic. So it sounds like the cart, your classroom on wheels, are there typical things that you keep in there that are always in there, or are they changing out?
We have a base. So we have a basket with tools that the kids can use whenever they want. We have in there magnifying glasses, little cardboard clipboards, and a pencil case, fairy dolls. Little buckets, things like that. And that basket, they can reach in and take whatever they want, whenever they want. We have a camouflage waterproof bag that has more of the tools that our teacher supervised, because they're a little more dangerous, like saws and hammers and chisels. And then we also have, sometimes we have ropes in there and tarps. So sometimes things trade in and out, but there are those staples that are there all the time. And the kids figure out too, sometimes we're in the woods and they're like, oh, can we have whatever? I'll be like, well, we don't have it today, so we'll do it tomorrow. And they're okay with adapting, and you know, you don't always get what you want when you want it. So you got to figure that out.
Fantastic.
I was just going to say, sometimes too, that's an opportunity when we don't have something, that we will encourage them to look in the basket or look around them and say, well, is there something else we could use instead, or use in a different way that could be helpful? So it's kind of tapping into that, you know, that creative thinking a little bit.
Fantastic. And so as far as your outdoor playtime, what do you see as the benefits of getting children outside?
Well, I feel the timing, that they're outside longer, so they have that opportunity for deep play, where the children can develop that time to work through conquering like their fears of, you know, it's usually closely related to like those risky play things like tree climbing, walking through, you know, dense woody debris on the forest floor, and tool use quite often. So, and it's just extending that extension gives the children an opportunity to, I don't know, I call it that sweet spot, you know, where boredom kind of, you know, stops and the imagination begins. And then they start to create their own games and rules and you know, like we've had the forest floor has been converted into like lava, and we need to watch over dinosaurs. You know, we have to walk, tread very carefully, things like that. So, you know, it's just that them using, you know, I feel that extends their imagination, or that that opportunity is there for them to go to different places and to use their imagination and creativity.
It's also a place where they can develop risk-taking, whether it's climbing a tree or if it's an emotional social one, like I'm scared to ask to join in to play, but here there's no interruptions, there's nobody else in the way, there's no car driving by that I can find something to do, so I'm gonna have to ask to join to play, otherwise I'm just gonna be standing here doing nothing. So they figure out that social risk as well, and where to tread lightly. Sometimes they need help from a grown up, but usually they figure it out. And there's a lot more problem solving out there where they figure it out. So if they're doing social roles like mother, father, baby, our class is all boys. So they still figure out somebody's a mom and they have to choose. And sometimes they don't like it. Sometimes they do like it. Sometimes there's, you know, compromise and negotiation. And if everything's so instantaneous, they don't get into that depth. So it's something different having all that time. They can take their time, figure it all out, and then keep going from there.
Sounds like the links into How Does Learning Happen of seeing children as competent, capable, and curious. Yeah. And again, that those benefits to children having that extended time. And talking about your risk-taking, it's that whole child. So again, you know, not just that focus on that physical risk, but all those pieces of emotional and social that sometimes get lost because risky play is often seen as that physical piece.
Mm-hmm. True.
There's a lot of layers to risky play other than the obvious physical component of it.
Yeah.
There's that emotional regulation that the children have to, like Suzanne was saying, how, you know, how do I feel about that? You know, where, how far do I want to, you know, go or engage in that activity? And then even the negotiation with the other children as well, you know, taking turns on the log or, you know, or whether they want to try and join in or not. So yeah, there's a lot more than just what you physically think of the tree climbing. It's not just that gross motor activity that's happening.
And so linking into this, thinking about you're outside, all different weathers here in Niagara. What sort of ways have you worked around ensuring that children are outside no matter what the weather?
So we've been doing this program, this is our sixth year. So when we started, we relied very much on what the parents brought in for the children. And not everything is waterproof, even though they suggest it is. So we learned how to adapt by using tarps and ropes and creating shelters. We did purchase little rain ponchos at the beginning from like Dollarama or something, and they managed through the year, but by the end of the year, they were tattered and torn. So we invested in Muddy Buddies. So each child has one and they stay at the center, they belong to the center, and they are amazing. We've had children jump in puddles, fall in puddles, yeah. roll around,
swim in, and dry.
And they're still dry
experiences.
Yeah. They come out dry. And we're like, yes, this is perfect. And now, because we are looking at being more outside, and with COVID definitely being more outside, the board and Helene decided to invest in Muddy Buddies for everyone. Infants all the way up.
Center wide.
So we can all go outside in all the weather. And sometimes the Muddy Buddies are used in the winter too. Like a day like yesterday when it's all slushy, it's perfect over the snowsuit so they don't like suck it up like a sponge. But we've also done things like we made a bunch of cane dens out of bamboo canes and have tarps. So there's like three sets. So the teachers could set them up with the kids. It's also a math activity because they're triangle shapes. And then you can have shelter that way, like on super hot days or cool days or rainy days. And also the playgrounds all have some kind of awning on them. And they all have picnic tables now, so they could sit under the awnings. So we've adapted here, there, and everywhere. Some more natural, like tarps and ropes, and some more concrete attached to the building. But we can always get outside no matter the weather.
And in the winter, we typically stay on the move a bit more. In the forest program, we tend to move a bit more, do more hiking, and we'll do a lot more tracking and observation, you know, looking at the different way nature changes through the seasons and things like that. And we make sure that we have extra things. Like, for example, we have the magic gloves so we have them for the whole group, and we keep them. We don't let the children take them home, essentially. And then that way they have that extra layer underneath. So they'll wear them, and then they'll wear their other mittens over top. And then if they want to use a tool or they want to write, they can take their mitten off. And they still have a gloved hand, so they're still staying warm. And it's that extra layer of protection. And then we have extra clothing just in case someone does get here and they don't have something. So that way they're not missing out, or they're going to be cold. So we have extra clothing for all those seasons, even extra rain boots and things like that too. So
Makes me think of the good old phrase of no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. And that if you have that foresight, as your center has, in how can we do this, that it is possible for every season to be out.
True.
Yes, definitely.
Over this past time, what are some of your favorite experiences that the children in your program have been exploring?
That's a really good question.
Pick one.
The kids love to do dramatic play outside. Yes. They love it. We have, I'm an avid camper, and I gave them my old coffee percolator for camping, and they've got some mugs, and they play house all the time. That is their most favorite thing this year. Mm-hmm. And you don't usually think of that as a boy only activity. It's usually a girl activity. So obviously gender doesn't matter, but these boys love to play house all the time. And because we're outside doing different things, so like we've done migration games and habitat games, and we're always bird watching and things like that, we've extended it back into the classroom. So the kids usually, this year we couldn't because of COVID, but usually we clean up the forest. We're always picking up garbage, collecting bottles and cans, but we can't because this year. But the kids have really looked at the animals and curious about their habitats. So now we're starting to talk about endangered species. So they want to learn more about these different animals. And, you know, quite often they're like, who lives in your forest? They would say tigers. And I'm like, no, they don't live here. So then we talk about, where do they live? And, you know, there's not very many of them left. And they're like, well, what happened? So we go into that whole conversation about people are hunting them. And then they're like, well, we need to make robots to catch the bad guys. And so the outside education is now bridging to the inside education. When we do stay inside for, you know, half an hour, whatever, doing Lego and things, it's the robots that they're building to help the outside.
We did a thing with the water. In the beginning of the year, we did a whole thing with the water where the children were creating machines and inventing machines of how to clean up the water. So that, you know, again, then they would go outside and look at, what do they call it, the gate. But it's a grate that is it a sewer or
it's
a water?
It's the storm drain exit to the lake.
So that I think almost every week we go out, and they observe that. They look at the water levels. They look at the habitat that's happening out there. They look at the grate to see if there's anything that's been caught. We saw the little fish, the minnows. Mm-hmm. Are they minnows? I think they're minnows. And swimming. And then they were watching, even figuring out, you know, how many were there, and starting to make that connection that if we take care of the water, then we're taking care of nature as well. So that, I thought that was, you know, that connection kind of a really on their own. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't, you know, we encourage and ask questions, but we let them kind of make that deduction on their own. So I thought that was pretty cool. So my favorite thing to do is the birds and the tracking. I like to do, you know, bird identification and tracking and sit spots. So to try and get them just to relax and, you know, take a break from life. And I know they're only little, but compared to us, but, you know, I think everyone needs that time to just take a breather, right? It's good for the educator too.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. And also builds into that idea within how does learning happen of those like learning skills. So it's not always about your ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. It's about those lifelong learning skills that as a young child, they are taking through into their adulthood. So really supportive of that development. That, you know, everything. And hearing too about authentic materials. So offering materials for children to explore, like the coffee pot, and getting to use that and creating their own story with it, which is exciting.
We get lots of coffee.
Hopefully it's decaf. My
coffee. Sometimes soup.
Yeah.
Soup. Yeah. Oh, yes. Soup. Yeah. Yes. We get soup.
Fine needle soup. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any other thoughts, ideas, experiences that you would like to share with us about this past time with your outdoor and the children?
I know for me, I would say that I've always been an advocate for children to be outside and outside more. And, you know, as an educator, early in my career, I was always perplexed as to why the children were only allowed out an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. And I'm like, why not more? Why can't they be out more? So, you know, with everything that's happened in the world, and, you know, we're kind of extending our outdoor play. And so I'm excited about that because I think it's valuable. I think that the children and educators grow. But I know that being outside is a challenge for some people, like some educators, even if there's a lot of unseen benefits of being outside, both for the educator and the children. And I think the parents are actually very excited that we're outside more too. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there's that. That's another side benefit as well.
Some of our parents go on the weekends and they hike the trails here and come to our camp. So sometimes we find little surprises when we return because they've left us little treasures, or sometimes they rearrange our camp and we're like, what?
And they'll fess up. They'll say, oh yeah, my family and I were on a hike and we
moved this, or we were playing fishing. So
yeah. Fish a lot.
So it's nice that the families are stepping up as well and they're following our lead.
Yeah, I think that's going to be some interesting research that comes out of this past year, the benefits of having children outside so much and how that may impact us, as you said, Roxanne, moving forward to, you know, can we extend that time, and are the benefits that we're seeing for children and educators? Because if children are less stressed, then educators are less stressed,
yeah,
which then really, you know, impacts the learning that's happening, the connections, the relationships that are being built. So again, it's that win-win situation for everybody to have children outside more.
I think it helps with their well-being.
Yeah, and there's so much that we're seeing right now with well-being. And we know from research already that being outside in nature does support your mental health, your well-being, which also links back into one of our foundations for how does learning happen. And you've created a space where children feel that they belong within their spot that they get to go to for the forest school. And the opportunity you've also highlighted with how children are engaging. So the opportunity for their expression, even though it's an all-boy group, there's still different play that's taking place within the dramatic play. And you can tell that they're engaged with all the opportunities through the stories that you're telling. So again, all those four foundations covered with that time, which is amazing. Well, thank you very much for sharing all your thoughts and your ideas and your insights. We appreciate it. Looking forward to hearing more on your forest school. And again, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Patricia.
Thank you for joining us for our podcast. We appreciate your feedback. You can connect with us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we look forward to connecting with you in our next podcast. Please stay safe, stay healthy, and have a wonderful day.